Mela.
Trudeau
is very easy in Hebrew. Tet resh vav dalet vav. But in English, it's, I don't know, X's and it's like in Yiddish, everything has to have an ayin and an aleph. So in French, everything has to have X's and things like that. Okay, sorry for being late. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, very good. Can hear you as well. Refuah shleima.
Thank you.
So we were supposed to start a new series today, but there were some adjustments that I had to do for the flyer, and the woman who's working on the flyer didn't work for the past week. So I said that start next week the new series regarding very interesting cases from the Israeli Beis Din, which is Evin Ezer issues. This is like the court of Israel regarding the laws of families. So it's very, very interesting. And this week I just took something from last week's parsha, Parshas Ve'era, and that is regarding saying a bracha on Biden, Putin, the Queen of England, Trudeau, and things like that. Should a person say a bracha on those leaders? What does this thing have to do with this week's parsha, with last week's parsha, Parshas Ve'era? So if you'll see source number one, the source number one says, V'dver Hashem Moshe ve'el Aharon v'itzavem el b'nei Yisrael ve'parom melech Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding Moshe and Aaron regarding b'nei Yisrael and Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, le'otzi et b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. And they had to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Rashi explains, what is the tzivui regarding melech Mitzrayim? Tziva alav, lachlok lo kavod bedivrehim. The commandment was, listen, regarding the king of Egypt, what is my commandment regarding the king of Egypt? That you have to pay him respect when you address him. You go speak with the king, he's not your friend, you have to speak with him with respect, with dignity, because he's a very important person. I just want to add another vort. What is the tzivui el b'nei Yisrael? Vaitzavem el b'nei Yisrael. That he's commanding Moshe and Aaron regarding b'nei Yisrael. And the continuation is also, l'hotziyet b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Yitzrayim. What does that have to do with b'nei Yisrael? So I saw a very, very interesting Meshech Chochma this past week, and I said in this week's Drasha at Shul, that he says that, according to the Midrash, certain Shvatim weren't enslaved. And not only that, so he suggests that maybe those Shvatim that weren't enslaved, maybe they were enslaving their brothers. It could be that the Shvatim, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, that weren't enslaved, they had their own slaves from the other tribes. So they had to, Hashem is telling Moshe and Aaron to command Bnei Yisrael and the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, what? Let my people go, let your people go as well, Bnei Yisrael, because he's commanding them also to redeem Bnei Yisrael. And it's, of course, in my opinion, this is a mind-blowing shot, but whatever, this is a very interesting idea. Anyway, Rashi says, that we have to respect the king of Egypt and have to address him with respect. See a very interesting Chasam Sofer in your free time, because I was late, so I don't want to stop on Vertlach, a very interesting Chasam Sofer on source number 3. Why is it so important to respect Pharaoh? Nah, I'll say it because it's so important. He says, Perashi shisbilu divrei bnei Yisrael v'inagu kavod beparo nire deratzal laziram shelo yavazu amelech v'itkapru lo avonotav v'lo yavo makot alav bedin. I think this Chasam Sofer is I said right before, in mind-blowing. This is always so mind-blowing. Chasam Sofer is actually saying that, listen, Pharaoh killed babies of the Jews. He's enslaved in Israel for hundreds of years. But if you won't pay him respect, if you won't show him kavod, if you will be mevazeh the king, so this will be enough for him to not be punished. You cannot give any makos, you cannot give any plagues on Pharaoh once you are mevazeh the king. Because bizoyan is a punishment. So if you punish him with bizoyan, so you can't even punish him with plagues that will ultimately redeem Bnei Israel. I think this shows the power of bizoyan and the importance of respecting others. Really, really powerful Chasam Sofer. So Rashi says that what is the tzivui that you have to respect the king tzivalav lachlok lo kavod bedivrehem. So we see that there's a mitzvah to be mechaved the authorities, to be mechaved the king, the queen, whatever. The Chasam Sofer adds in source number 4, why is it so important? He's telling us about the importance of respecting the king, the queen, the monarchy. Why? So he says, "Omer ani b'tshuvat zot ha'shela. Im omnam mechuyavim anachnu adat bnei Yisrael לאחוז במצווה הרבה הגדולה הזאת, מצוות כיבוד המלך. ביתר סט ויתר עוז, על כל העמים. We are commanded to be mechaved the king all the time. More than even other nations. Why? Asher hi mitzvah klalit sichlit v'nimusit. First of all, it makes sense. Listen, this is the king. You have to respect him. In hok kavod b'melech, asher b'mishpat yamid eretz. So first of all, it makes sense. This person is keeping the law in our country. So things that we have law system, so you have to pay him respect. Nosaf aleinu mitzvah shimi'it b'toratenu al-desha. But in addition, we have another tzivui, which is kind of a gzeres ha-kosuv, ki ha-kodesh boruch hu tziva et Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom al paro melech nitzavim linhog bo kavod. Ve'im hu hirshia la'asot livanu ra'ah, v'chulei v'chulei, he says that you have to respect Pharaoh, even though he was a wicked king, a terrible king, you have to respect this king. Of course you can't say this is sichli v'nimusi, it doesn't make a lot of sense to respect Pharaoh, he's enslaving us, he's killing our kids. Nevertheless, you have to be b'chab, it's a mitzvah shim'it. Although it doesn't make sense, it's a mitzvah. Ve'alver al zeh, a person who's not doing this mitzvah, who etzleinu kemi shelo hiniach tfilin. Powerful, powerful words. That person that is not mechabed the king, it's such a severe crime what he's doing, is as if he's not putting on tefillin. Tefillin! Ve'im zeh melachim resheim aritzim, so if this is regarding evil and wicked kings, ma naseh yekar gdula lakisar chasid asher anachnu veharbe revot b'Yisrael chayim b'tzilo v'ulehim lemagen v'machseh u'mistor v'noten lehem yad v'ashem l'achzik me'oz toratan atan ilu pinu yesh agam v'chulei v'chulei. He's saying that if this is regarding Pharaoh, so kal v'chomer regarding our Caesar, our king in our days. So actually someone told me that the king at his time was Franz Joseph. And he was very good to the Jews. So it actually makes a lot of sense. It's not only saying words of compliments. It's really...
centuries were much worse.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so he says,
"M'chud
ha'chiyuv lo'sif omets b'chol minei hidur ve'yofia efshari lifi yiseg yadenu la'arbot kvodo ki rav u'shvacho ki atzum." So we have to do with all our best and might to be mechaved the king. So of course we learn from here about the importance about the kingship, the monarchy, the king, the queen, and we see from here maybe the origins of all these tefilos for the queen. You said here in the Shabbos Shavuos? So in Kladen Park, they say, the Rav says, yeah, on the pulpit, he says, for the queen, for the government, and also for the state of Israel.
But number three,
yeah.
It was a commandment for Moshe Rabbeinu, not for the rest of us, because we didn't want power to get punished.
Yeah. You're right. Interesting. Yeah, you're saying. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not a mitzvah to be mechaved.
Like it's a mitzvah on Klali, so it's just a Moshe Rabbeinu Nara.
Yeah. I hear. It's a good point. But I think the message. I think in source three, it's more the message that the importance of being kind to other persons, because if you're not kind, this is a bizon. It's like a punishment. It's equivalent. If they were mevazeh the Pharaoh, it's equivalent for 10 makas and losing a child. Shemir achim. So we see for all these sources the importance of b'mechaved the malchus in source number 5, the chevron shishiva. In his book on the Ramban, in Sam Derech, he explains why is it so important to be mechaved and to respect the Malchus. So he says, and the third reason is, this is a very, very slobodker pshat, מיסודות הנפש, שאדם יעריך דברים ויכבדים. The nature of person is that he has to respect things which are worthy of respect. Habaz ledvarim hu zed yehir velas. A person is not respected. If he's disrespectful to important things, important figures, he's an arrogant and a clown. Ve'tam lekach ki kasher nafsho shel adam baza u'mezalzev dvarim harei shekol davar nasa zol u'bilti chashuv etzlo. Once you're disrespectful for something which actually deserves respect, so everything becomes to you disrespectful. You see, a really an objectively respectful person You have to respect it. No. If you're not respecting that thing, so even more important things will no longer be respectful. Adam shekaze ne'edar kol yicholet v'kosher ha'aracha v'hakara v'chashivut shel ma'asim u'memeilo u'mekel v'eino oseh gam ma shemechuyav la'asot. So once he's disrespectful for important things and figures, he's already disrespectful for things which really matter, Torah mitzvahs. V'sofo she'avor al kol ha'torah kula. So we could understand, how is it that the Chasam Sofer says that person who's disrespectful for the Malchus, it is as if he's not putting on tefillin. Because according to Pesachos of Sobriety, if you're disrespectful to something which is worthy of respect, so ultimately you will also disrespect the Torah and mitzvahs, and maybe not even put on tefillin, could be. So anyways, we see from here all these sources, the importance and the commandment of respecting the Malchus and the king and the queen and the chud. Okay, so let's see now, let's get into the sugya. In source number 6, the Gemara says, in Brachas, in Chetamud Aleph, Tano Rabbanon, Haro'eh Chachmei Yisrael, the person sees a wise Jewish person, Omer Baruch Shechalak Mechochmato Li'ireav, Chochmei Umot HaOlam, Omer Baruch Shenatan Mechochmato Levasav Adam. So we have here two differences. Regarding the Israeli, it's Yireav, those who fear Hashem, and regarding the Umot HaOlam, is Basav Adam, just flesh and bones. And another thing is that with Chachmei Yisrael is Shechalak, that you shared your wisdom with these people, as opposed to Chachmei Yisrael, Shenatan, that you gave wisdom, you gave knowledge to these people. The same thing will be regarding kings. Haroe Malchei Yisrael, Omer Baruch Shechalak Mechvodo Leireav. If he says a king, so again, Shechalak, sharing your kavod to Yireav, those who worship you, those who fear you. Malchei Umot HaOlam, Omer Baruch Shenatan Mikvodo Levasar Vadam. Again, so Shenatan, and again, Basar Vadam. Now again, we see here the importance about going seeing the kings, to see kings. Amar B'Yochanan, Le'olam Mishtadel Adam La'rutz Likad Malchei Yisrael, V'lo Gam Malchei Yisrael Bevada, Ela Afilu Likad Malchei Umot HaOlam. It's important to also try to see kings. If you have the opportunity to see the Queen of England, so do it. Take the opportunity. If you have the opportunity to see the president, go do it. As Rashi says, La'atid lavo, that when you'll see how they honor a king in this olam hazeh, when the Mashiach will come, wow, you'll see how really the covenant should be. Rav Sheshet Sagi Nahor Havi. Rav Sheshet was a blind man. Havu ka'az le'kula abel le'kabuda api malka. Everyone came to see the king. Ve'kam azel ba'adav Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet came with them to be present at this time, because he wanted also to feel the atmosphere of a king. So again, we see here the importance of the covenant of Malchus. And also we saw the bracha that we say on a Chacham Yisrael as opposed to Chacham of Umos HaOlam, and the bracha that we say of a king of Israel as opposed to a king of Umot HaOlam. Again, one final note regarding the mitzvah of going to see the king, to see a king. So the Gemara says in source 6, Rav Zav Tzadok, medalgim ha'inu al gabi aronot shematim likei malchei Yisrael, lo kei malchei Yisrael levad amru, ela afilo likeret malchei umot ha'olam. Rav Zav Tzadok is a Kohen, and as we all know, a Kohen cannot be metame himself to met, and he can't be near bones and things like that. So he said that he went above aronot, above coffins, in order to see kings, not only kings of Israel, but also kings of the other nations. Again, because of this great mitzvah, it's so important. I think the commentaries say that it's only an Isra Derabbanan. It was a Tumah Derabbanan, not a Tumah Deraisa. But you see, yes, for certain mitzvot, you should violate all kinds of mitzvot in order to do this mitzvah. Mishnah Berurah says in Sivan Resh Kuf Daled, Mutar letameh betumah shel divrei. You could also be metame in the Tumah of Derabbanan, mipnei kvodan, ben lemachai Yisrael, ben lemachai umot haolam. And he adds another very interesting thing. V'chem pnei kvod avirot kigun lelech lenachem avilim. Also, for the sake of Nichum Avelim, you could do some Averos. Not that this has anything to do to recent events, but nothing to do. But again, you see from here the mitzvah of seeing a king, even to do some Averos in the way, still it's so important. However, Bittul Torah, the Mishnah Berurah says, Lo yevatel yoter milimudo liroto, אם לא שבא בחיל יותר וכבוד גדול יותר. So let's say you already once saw the Queen of England, and now you're in the middle of learning, and they're telling you, now there's a parade outside, you can see her once again, you shouldn't go. Unless that previous time she was wearing a simple crown. Now she'll be with her big crown, with her scepter, and all of her, and a horse, a much greater covet. Only then you should leave the shir and go to see her. But otherwise, carry on learning. But again, if you never saw her, you're now in the middle of a shir, a great shir, stop the shir, go out. You're in the middle of learning the daf yomi, close the gemara and go see the king. So we see how important it is to see the king, be mechaved the king, and also there are the brachas for the king. Okay, so now let's focus. Any questions so far? Everything I think is kind of clear, right? It's not too complicated. Everything's okay?
Does it apply to heads of state or just to kings and
queens? Oh, very good, very good. So we're getting there. We're getting there. I assume that we're getting there regarding a bracha, if you say the bracha. And I assume that'll be also relevant to the mitzvah of seeing them, and not only regarding the bracha. So as we saw in the Gemara, there are two differences regarding the bracha of a king or a wise Jew, as opposed to a king or a wise non-Jew. And we see in sources 8 and 9, two reasons for the difference. The difference was, first of all, Jews are Yere'av, those who worship him, and the non-Jews are Basal Vadam. And more importantly, that regarding Jews is always Shechalak mechokhmato, Shechalak mekvodo, because Baruch Hu shared his kavod, he shared his chokhma with this Jew. As opposed to a non-Jew, because Baruch Hu didn't share, Shenatan, he gave away, he gave them chokhma, he gave them kavod. So what is the difference? Why is it that for Jews it's sharing, and for non-Jews is giving? What's the difference? So there are two interpretations between Reb Yosef and the Bach, and there's a very interesting nafkamina in between of them. In source number 8, Reb Yosef says, "Hatam shebechachmei Yisrael omer shechalak, that he shared his wisdom, ubechachmei mot haolam shenatan." נראה שהוא מפני שנפשות ישראל חצובות מתחת כיסא הכבוד, הרי הם כחלק מהשם. We, the Jews, are part of Hashem. We are חלק of Hashem. We are sharing something with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So because of that, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is sharing with us his knowledge, sharing with us his chokmah, because we, the Jews, we, the people, are part of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. אבל נפשות אומות העולם רחוקים מנו יתברך, they are distant, they are separated from Hashem, והם כמי שנותן מתנה מנכסיו שאינם חלק ממנו. So since they are separated, whatever he's giving, חוכמה, כבוד, שנתן מחוכמתו, שנתן מכבודו. This is Reb Yosef. The difference is between the gavras. The Jewish gavra is a different gavra than the non-Jew. The Bach says no. It's not regarding the gavra, it's regarding the chefza. The only rekaof lomar in source number 9, the Bach, שבישראל חלק להם מחוכמתו, חלק ממש, מהכל היא חוכמת תורתו, שחלק להם פה אל פה, ופנים ונדבר השם עמנו. כן? ועל דרך זה הוא פירוש את אצל המלאכים, מלאכי ישראל חלק מכבוד עצמותו, הוא כבוד השכינה. מחוכמת העולם נתן מכבודו, מעולם הפירוד מתחת מחנה השכינה. הכל נתדבך, the reason why we see שחלק regarding the chokhmah of the Torah or the covet of the king of Israel is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sharing with us his chokhmah, the chokhmah of the Torah. He's sharing with us his kavod, the kavod of the Torah. So it's the kavod of a Jewish king, that's the same kavod that the Kadosh Baruch Hu has. He's sharing it with us. His chokhmah, this chokhmah, he's sharing this chokhmah with us, the chokhmah of Hashem. But regarding the chokhmot of the world, of nations of the world, it's not the chokhmah of Hashem. It's something which is me'olam pirud, separated from him. It's not the kavod of Hashem. So according to the Beis Yosef, the reason we say shechalak is because the Jew is part of Kadosh Baruch Hu as opposed to the non-Jew. And in source number 9, the Bach says the reason is chalak because the chokhmah of the Torah is part of Hashem, but the chokhmah of the other nations is not part of Hashem. So what could be the nafkamina between those two interpretations? So a very interesting nafkamina, I think it's brought by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, previous Toronto.
Go Kamenetsky.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then not Kanievsky, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky.
Yes, he lived in Toronto.
Lived in Toronto, yeah, obviously. That's the highlight of his life, living in Toronto.
He threw the robe at the funeral show.
Yeah? I didn't know that. Okay. So he says, I'll tell you what the nafkamina is. What if you have a Jew who excels not in Torah, but rather in other chokhmas? He's the great scientist, Albert Einstein, let's say. So which bracha should you say for him? Shechalak mechokhmato? Or shenatan mechokhmato? According to this Yosef, it depends. If the gaver here is a Jew or non-Jew, the Jews are part of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so shechalak mechokhmato. But if it's regarding the heftza of the chokhma, which kind of chokhma is this? If it's chokhma satorah, so according to the Bach, this is part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, only that you say shechalak. But if it's other chokhma, you should say shenatan. So according to the Beis Yosef, you should say, I'm Albert Einstein, you should say bracha on him, you'll say shechalak, because he's a Jew. But if you say according to the Bach, the chokhma that he has is not chokhma satorah, it's chokhma me'olam ha-pirud, as the Bach said, so it's still shenatan. So even if you say, see this Jew, say shenatan mechokhmato, maybe l'irah, but I'm not sure. Shenatan mechokhmato. That's according to the Bach. Same thing will be with a Jewish king. Now let's say that Bernie Sanders would have won the elections in the States. Let's say. He is a Jew. So, shenatan mechvodo or shechalak mechvodo. So if it's according to the Gavre, this person is a Jew, so it's shechalak mechvodo. Yeah, whatever. But if it's regarding the covet, so this is a covet amount of the covet of the kings of Israel, the kings of Torah, rather it covets me'olam ha-peirud, so it's shenatan. This is an interesting nafkamina. Regarding that.
What does it mean that Chochmas Ha'olam is not part of Hashem? What does it mean?
It means that it's Shem Olam Perud.
What does it mean?
When the Torah says, when the Midrash says that the Torah was created, I don't know how many generations before the world. So it means that the Torah was the blueprints of the world. Math and physics, which are very important, it's not the blueprints of the world. It's not. The Torah is. So it is something that Kadosh Baruch Hu brought to the world, obviously. But it's Me'olam HaPerud. I don't know. These are divine concepts for me as well, to be honest. Oh. So does this bracha apply today? Some say that no. That today it's impossible to see great people with this, but a few years ago, when there were elections, surprisingly in Israel, so there was a convention of the Yehadut HaTorah party, and I think that, so they gave Baruch Mordechai Ezrahi to say a speech. Have you ever heard him? He's a Sheshiva of Tel Israel. He's a terrific, very big kifa, yeah, exactly. And he's a terrific speaker. And usually he speaks in the beginning, has a long slot. Now they gave him just a few minutes to speak. So what did he say? He stood there and he said, Manoma, Tiru meitanu. He's pointing at Rabbi Kinevsky. And in front of everyone, he said, Ani vakesh lechem, shetamdu, v'tagidu iti. And he said the bracha. Not for the first time. So according to some rabbis, obviously, you could say it. Depends which bracha. I heard that Rav Herschel Schachter said that the only Jew that could say that bracha today is only on Rav Herschel Weiss. That's something that I heard.
Right?
Sorry?
He has a son-in-law, Glazman.
Yeah. Hadari! It was, yes. Rav Hadari, sorry. Yeah. You're right. Right. Forgot. All pals from the Yishuv. Yeah. Right. So, you can say that on several rabbis. So, that's regarding this topic of a Jew who is a chacham in the chachmas of other nations. Just, I want to point out other opinions, the Mishnah Halacha in Source 10. So he says, you want to say a bracha on a Jew who is a chacham in chachmot umot ha'olam? Kvar nifsheta dal Israel she'en lo chachmat ha-Torah, rak chachmat ha-olam, chachmat ha-goyim, afilu sheva chachmot kulam. אי מברכים עליו כלל, והפוך השם את הברכה לכללה, ודאי שאי מקללים אותו, על שהחליף חוכמת לימוד התורה וחוכמת הגויים, ובזמן שבת חוכמת העולם, הרי עבר בכל שעה ורגע שהיה חייב ללמוד את התורה, שמחויב המדין להגות עם המולה, you want to bless this person, this Jewish scientist, you should curse him, because every single moment that he learned whatever he is an expert of, he was actually doing b'tol Torah, supposed to learn. This is according to the Mishnah Halachas. I brought in source 11, the Chavana, the Tiferes Yisrael.
Who wrote the Mishnah Halachas?
Rav Menashe Klein. Menashe Klein was the Gaivid of Ungvar. He actually is a Holocaust survivor from Buchenwald. He was together with Eli Wiesel, Rav Lau, and so Mishnah Halachas, it's a very, to be honest, he had a very, very fascinating, interesting tshuvas. Once I saw a tshuva that he discusses whether a man can eat Chinese food, because maybe it's a problem of lo techonem. Person cannot, lo techonem, lo teten lehem chen, you cannot compliment and beautify other nations. So if you have Chinese foods, so maybe you are saying that the Chinese kitchen is the best kitchen, so that might be a problem. So one day maybe we'll have a share about lo techonem. So, but he is a tremendous Talmid Chacham, and this is his opinion. Abraham source 11. Sorry?
You missed the big day, the 25th, where most Jews eat Chinese food.
Really? I didn't know that. So, in source 11, I brought up the Tiferet Yisrael, was saying that one of the Memchet Kinyanei Torah, things that you need to have in order to acquire the Torah knowledge, so it is Yishuv. Yishuv. And what is the parish of Yishuv? She'e baki b'yishuvo shel olam, hem b'derech eretz, הן בחוכמות טבעיות ולימודיות, שעל ידי זה יכולים אלה להיות לו לרקחות וטבחות את תורתנו הקדושה, דהיינו שיהיו אלו משרתיה להבינה על ידן היטב, וכולם כלולים בה. וגם על ידי זה נחמד בני הבריאות. So he says that one of the קני התורה is to be a scholar.
That's what those claim.
Yeah, to be a scholar, to know a few things, חוכמות טבעיות, לימודיות, and by that he can utilize this wisdom for the sake of Torah learning. There is a very interesting essay of Rabbi Yonasan Eibishis that he has a long essay describing how each chokhmah is useful in the Torah. So he says the chokhmah of chemistry is regarding the menachas, how to mix things and blend things, and the chokhmah of the geometry is regarding Eruvin. He brings a long list. I'll send in an email if you want. So we see from here the importance of chokhmah, but again, whether you should say a bracha on a Jew who is chacham in chomot klaliot or not, so as we see, it's kind of a machlokes.
There's a famous physicist, a Jewish physicist, you know, current, like a contemporary physicist, that wasn't from, and through physics, came from.
Really? Okay, interesting.
In his bone and physics, he says this can't be, you know, it's not something that just happens.
Okay.
And he wrote books and books about how he proves that God created the world. And it's a famous, Eli Weinstock knows the name of this.
Schroeder.
Schroeder?
No, not Schroeder.
Not Schroeder. Schroeder.
The guy wrote about the creation of the world.
Okay, I believe you.
So, I mean, through physics, through studying physics, a total non-from Jew became
professor.
In physics, he saw the governance of the Hashem.
Professor Uman, that won a Nobel Prize in what?
Game theory.
In game theory. So he has a shiur on a sugyan in Ksuvis that he says it's explained according to the game theory, and he really goes to
the Mishnah.
The Mishnah there with 300, 200, 100, and he goes to Yeshivot giving a shiur on that topic. I mean, that's the pshat. So,
Rabbi, what happened to King Solomon? He was the wisest of all the kings, but he learned a lot of Torah. He said he was the wisest, but it was his downfall because he had more than 18 wives, and he did a lot of against the Torah.
Sometimes
a guy like that, you wouldn't say a baruch, right? Because he used the Torah in the wrong way.
Interesting question. We could say a baruch on kings who are wicked. So, Chas Shalom, I don't think he was wicked, Shalom Melech. But if on the wicked kids we could say a bracha, so I think definitely could say I'm Shalom Melech. That's what I think. But very, very good question. Very good question. Interesting source that I won't read it out. It's source number 12, Pachad Yitzchok. He says, Two, that you shouldn't say a bracha on a Jew who is a chacham in the chachmot of the other nations, of the other chachmot. Why? He says a very interesting theory. He says, his idea is that regarding the bracha of smell and spices, so the law is, the halacha is, that let's say you have a spice which is purpose is not to have a good smell, just to set aside bad odors. Like you have in the bathroom, the spice, its purpose not to now have a good smell in the bathroom, but rather to take away the bad smell. So the halacha is, you don't say a bracha. Even if it's outside in the street and you smell it, you can't say a bracha because its purpose is not for it to project the good smell. Its purpose is to do something else just to put aside a bad smell. So he says, you have to, in order to say a bracha on something, you have to say it only if this was its purpose. That's what the Bachar Yitzchak says. And the purpose of a Jew, he says, is to excel in Torah learning. That's the purpose of the Jew. You are created, your purpose here is to learn Torah. So because that, even though you have the other chachmas, but it's not your purpose, you shouldn't say bracha. No, Mishnah Halacha says you're doing an aveira.
Yeah.
Here he says no, it's okay, it could be like chul to bechul to everything. But the reason why you shouldn't say bracha because you're not meant to be this. And even if it's very good that you're a terrific doctor and you're terrific to do great things in the world, again, at the end of the day, your purpose in the world is Torah. But this is again the Bachar Yitzchak Halacha Maisa. Just see in Source 13, we don't see this bracha at all today. Even on a non-Jew who is a wise man, because according to Privy Gadim, they have to be fluent in all the Sheva Chochmes. What is the Sheva Chochmes? Higayon, Cheshbon, Geometria, Shiur, which is geography, Refuah, Nigun, music, Elokut, theology, Kishuv. So you can't find anyone who knows all of these things today. It's impossible. Tzmachim is biology. Is plants. Yeah. So refuah is not only today. All doctors have to specialize in a certain area. Yeah. So he has to be also in this and also in geography, in order to learn that, and also music. So it's a very. Sorry.
Kishuv is something that's awesome anyway.
Yeah. But the Gemara says that you're allowed to learn it. Lehorot, aval lo lasot. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in order to learn it and teach it, but not to perform it, to do it, to practice it. Exactly. So, anyways, all this discussion regarding a Jew with the other chachmas is irrelevant. But because halacha b'aisa, we don't say a bracha at all. Definitely not with Shem u'Malchut. So we've seen until now. Wow, it's really late. We started really late today. So we've seen until now the chiluk of shechalak v'shematam. We see this of the Bach, whether it's the Jew different or the Torah is different. The nafkamina would be with a Jew who is a chacham with other chachmas. And we said that according to other people, it's a curse to learn other chachmot. We said no, it's actually a mitzvah. But we don't say this bracha anyway today because you have to be extremely smart and know absolutely everything. Okay, now what we came for? Should we say a bracha on a president, on a prime minister, on the queen of England, on the king of England, when there might be ever? So. The Mishnah Berurah says a very important criteria for the king that you make a bracha. Source 14, the Mishnah Berurah says, Hashiltonim she'ein ol melech aleihem leshanot divrehem vedan vehoreg b'mishpat mevarech aleihem. Very important criteria is that the king has to have the authority to perform the capital punishment to kill people. He has the authority to execute people. If he wants, you just say, off with your head, and that's it. Only that kind of king, you should make a bracha. So today, can anyone do such a thing?
You could call a hit.
Call a hit? Well, first of all, who could do that? Everyone?
A person can do that.
There's a person that for no good reason, says, I want you to wipe him out. Why? Because he cut me in line at the grocery store a few years ago. No, he has the power because he says, listen, okay, now we have an operation, we have to kill a terrorist, this person is a threat. Okay, that's something else. That's a military operation. There's, now he just wants to kill someone. So I think that today we don't see any kings like that. It's no longer.
Two
maybe in Zimbabwe
family.
Or I don't know, someplace in Africa, but not.
Yeah,
sorry.
We have two types of royal families in the world. Mm-hmm. We have constitutional royal families like in Canada, and we have monarchy, like Thailand or something.
Right,
like
but all those kings and queens don't have any authority to do anything. Maybe even not. They can't even sign bills or anything. I mean, they really don't have any authority at all. So according to this Mishnah Berurah, allegedly, this bracha doesn't exist today. That's the Mishnah Berurah. However, Shimon Halevi, source 15, Rav Vosner, and he says in the second paragraph, he says that there are tzvei dinim. There are two types of people that we say the bracha on. One is the most important person in the country. If there is an objectively a person in the country that he's the most important person in the country, we say a bracha. And this person doesn't have to have any samchus at all. No authority to do anything. Can't kill, can't do anything, still doesn't matter. Since he is selected to be the most important person in the country, we say a bracha on him or her. So because of that, on the Queen of England, we say a bracha. What is the criteria of a person that has to kill? That is someone that... So he says in the third line, the king appointed him to be in charge of something. Oh, he's in charge of something. So when she said bracha on this person, only this someone has the authority to kill. So let's say he's a governor or something like that, and he has the authority to kill. Let's say he's not the most important person in the world, but still in the country, but still he has the authority to kill. That's enough to say that you should say bracha on him. So going to Rav Vosner. The criteria of saying a bracha on someone and only if he or she could kill, that's not regarding the king or queen. The king or queen is the most important person in the country, so you say a bracha on them. But the criteria of killing is only if it's someone who is appointed by the king, but not necessarily the king or queen itself. So he says the idea of the bracha is to see the kavod of the king or queen. And you see the kavod of the king or queen, Even without them killing. The importance is to see, not the killing, the kavod. So because of that, you should say a bracha, even though they don't have any authority to do anything. Because they're the most mechubadim people in their country. Because of that he says, in source number, in the first paragraph, he says, because of that, it doesn't matter whether it's a king or a queen. Because the idea is to see the kavod of the malchus. Because the reason to see a king is she needs of king. You'll see how the kings of Israel are in the future, as opposed to the kings of the world of the nations of the world. But we won't have a queen, so maybe you shouldn't go see the queen. No, you should see, because you have to see and feel the kavod of the malchus. And because of that, even Rav Sheshes, as we said beforehand, he's a blind person. He still went to see the king, the king, because he felt the kavod. So even if you don't see anything, it is okay. Maybe it's a problem of tzniyus, he says, to see the queen, sholom. So it's, and you're not allowed, and you're not supposed to look at women. So he says, this is not exactly looking, you just have to see the kavod, surrounding everything. The Israel is looking, it's manish observing. Here is you're not observing. Okay? So going to Shem Levi. Once she is the most important person in the country, you say a bracha. And I know this is also the practice of the rabbis in England. I know I asked around, and they say a bracha. And they told me that she also expects it when she's meeting a rav, and she's waiting for the rav to say a bracha. I mean, she knows the procedure that he's going to say some kind of words. And after she says, amen, I don't know. And he says, Baruch Hashem. She says, Baruch Shmoy. I don't know if she says that, but she knows about it. So, since it's because of the kavod of the queen, I'll have to just read out quickly. I'm so sorry that I'm rushing today. But in source 16, so also Rav Schirnbach says that the idea is to see the kavod of the king of the or the queen. So he says, in order to say a bracha, you have to see the king or queen in a position of kavod. That there really are mechubadim. So he says that sometimes there are people, Jews, standing in front of Buckingham Palace, waiting to see the queen, and then they see her on the phone, near the window. And they said, bracha. No. Instead of just seeing the person, the face of the king or queen, you have to see the cover of the king or queen, a parade, or coming outside, wearing her crown, waving to the crowd. But if she's just walking in a room, did you happen to see her? No. That's not nechubad. You shouldn't say a bracha. You should have seen with their special clothes and garments, and not if you just randomly bump into, let's say you bump into Barack Obama on the beach during his vacation in Hawaii, and he is in his bathing suit.
Oh, the story here.
What? So you shouldn't say brothel, because you don't see that the covered or the king or queen in prison or like that. You just have to see him. However, he does say that he heard in the last paragraph, he says, Shamati shagrich Zonnenfeld shnivgash melech Yerden beseter ba'ohel uvirech. That Reb Chaim Zonnenfeld, for some reason, went to meet the king of Jordan. I don't know why, but they had a meeting inside his tent. So it wasn't something public. He wasn't with his great garments. He was sitting there as a regular human being, relatively. And he came and he said a bracha. So maybe it's not only about that. However, so we see from here, the idea of the bracha is to say bracha on the kavod. And the kavod means the most important and respectable person in the land. So even if you don't have authority, you should say a bracha, and you have to see it. You have to say the bracha only when you see it in a situation of kavod, and not in a random visit and then seeing each other inside, a pub or something like that. Yeah? Okay. Now, regarding presidents, so as we all know, the president, the prime minister, whoever, doesn't have the authority to say, off with their heads. And also, they're not necessarily the most mechubad person in the country, because, I mean, if another 2 years you're gone, so you're not important at all. So let's see. So in Surah 17, Yechavidat, Rav Avadya Yosef, so he says, Nire. First of all, he discusses the fact that he can't kill anybody. So he says, you know, it could be that the president does have the authority to kill someone. He has the hands of, he has in his hands the life of another person. When he could pardon him. Although he's here only for 4 years, for four more years, but not more than that, and he can be changed every single moment. Now he's a nasi. Even a fox, when he's now succeeding, the Fiomi last week, Parsha Shavua a few weeks ago, so you should bow to him. So he says, Rav Avadya Yosef, although today presidents cannot kill, but they still have in their hands life and death matters regarding pardoning, right? Pardoning someone. So because of that, it is worth it to say bracha. Maybe even the governor, right? Yeah, definitely, according to this definition, maybe even the governor. However, as Rav Avadya usually does, he brings a lot of sources to support this or that. He says, still, you have to have the kavod of a malchus. And the president doesn't have that. Hadin, shenasi medina, shu lavush ezrachit, a president, the United States, doesn't have special garments. He has a suit. He buys it at Brooks Brothers, the same way that some of us do. So, actually, he does buy him in Brooks Brothers, I think. He really does. So he's not wearing special clothes. So because of that, there is a lack of the kavod. You should say the bracha without Baruch Ata Hashem. Just say, when you see him, Chalak me chvodo v'asar adam. That's it. Well, but without Baruch Ata Hashem, that's what Rav Avadya Yosef says. And because of that, Sfek Bachot Laakel, he was very worried regarding saying Hashem Hashem Levatala. So because of that, you should say Tim Baracha without Shem Malchus, without saying Baruch Ata Hashem Kimei Ha'olam. Okay? So his conclusion is that I don't think there's a problem regarding the fact that he can't kill, because he does have life and death matters in his hands. So you should say a bracha, but without Shema Malchus, because he's not wearing special clothes today. And also he's adding, what happens if you see the king on television? So obviously you should not say a bracha, because you have to see it with your own eyes. You have to experience it. You have to see it. Yeah, when I met my father-in-law for the first time, so I used to see him on TV. He had a show on Israeli television, Sh'alet Arav, and for some reason I thought that he was very short, because I don't know, according to the television. And then when I first met him, he was huge. He's almost 2 meters. I was shocked. I mean, so it's not the same thing when you see someone in a small box as opposed to seeing him in real life. So this is according to Rav Ovadia Yosef, that you should say a bracha on presidents and prime ministers. Does the prime minister have the authority to pardon someone? I don't think so. It doesn't. So governors, so you say that, neither in Israel. I mean, if he was, so he would have pardoned himself long back. However, you should say with Hashem Malchus, because there's no clothes. Rav Asher Weiss, in Source 18, so he says a very, very, very interesting idea. I think it's kind of a chiddush. He says that the bracha today is absolutely irrelevant. You should erase it from your textbook because this bracha doesn't exist today. Why? Nireh la'anut dati. De'ei levarech bracha zoha al otam melachim aritzim sheyesh b'adam la'harog b'mishpat. The bracha zoha nitkena melachim shemishpatam haya b'tzedek uveyosher. This bracha are only for kings who rule with justice and honesty. I'm sure this is not true. I mean, I'm 100% sure that if a Jew saw the Tsar in Russia, he should have said the bracha. I'm just positive. But he says, and the Tsar was a very, usually were very evil. Sorry?
It's like a joke. Like, what bracha do you, was a rabbi and put it on the roof. Yeah. And he said, what bracha do you say on the Tsar? That's the question he asked the rabbi.
Uh-huh. I think you're right. Which bracha is on the Tsar? I don't remember. What was the answer, though?
The answer is... The rabbi made a bracha, but it was like in a funny.
Yeah, yeah. Good point. I'll look into it. Right. So he says, "Yes, a bracha only on kings who are righteous."
So Fidlund, was he saying it was Fidlund?
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, is the bracha was that they should keep the Tsar far from here, far away from here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's what the bracha was.
Okay. Go ahead. So he says, you have to say a bracha on true kavod. And if this person is a tyrant, a dictator, there's no kavod. So he says that, it's because he says in the second paragraph, today this bracha is irrelevant. You shouldn't say a bracha on the queen, on the king of Denmark and Holland and that, because they don't have any authority. What is their kingship? Only kavod medume. Presidents, prime ministers, because there's no malchus. And those who have malchus, the tyrants and dictators, because they're not worthy for kavod, they are a bizoyim for mankind. So because they shouldn't say bracha today at all. I brought in source 19, Kefachayim, who says that even on wicked kings, Yeravam, Achav, you should say a bracha. However, you shouldn't say bracha le'yireav, rather b'sav adam. But you see from here that even on wicked kings, you should say the bracha. So I'll just summarize, according to Rav Vosner, you should say bracha on Queen of England because she's the most important person in the country, even though she cannot kill. Same thing also seems to be the opinion of Rav Moshe Sternbach, Rav Adi Yosef, and also other people can say that the ability to pardon someone is also the ability to kill. So you can say that bracha. However, they're not wearing clothes, so you shouldn't, they're not wearing proper clothes, so you shouldn't say bracha. And finally, Rav Shavai says today, this bracha is absolutely irrelevant. Everyone, shkoyech, and good night. I'm so sorry that I had to rush things.